American Auto!
This is Brock and Saul.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about Mike.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Where's the buff dudes at?
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
Cut the fire!
Wow. These are like take a breath after that, kind of, right? Like it's fast paced.
Oh, I would have loved you in a locker room.
Think so?
Yes.
Like that moment where KJ's like, oh, he's funny.
Yes, exactly. I think a locker room would have been so good for you. We've had a locker room.
The instigation.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So fun.
I mean, I loved playing sports and being in locker rooms with our with our teams. I love
absolutely, but then expand it like, you know, you go from what you're familiar with in the Northeast to, and then you went to Pomona and you were broadened out a little bit. But man, I was just telling someone this the other day. Gosh, I loved connecting. I loved the KJs. I loved my rookie year, hearing guys talk in ways that I had never heard in my life.
Sure.
Right. Even in Washington, we didn't have, you know, geography wise, I didn't have connections to the Midwest, to the Deep South, to teammates from all over the country, man. Chicken farmer from Arkansas, Jodine Davenport, you know, C. Rowe from Camden, New Jersey. And you make it all work, man. It's a melting pot that comes together. And yeah, when we have KJ in for the hour, honestly, I have flashbacks to those times in the locker room talking shop where it was so, so fun.
And you never instigated ever.
I was never an instigator. No.
No, it doesn't seem like you at all.
No, I never. That's not my personality.
not even a little bit to be the backup quarterback / instigator. Not at all who you are.
Not my role.
Yeah. Well, all right. I don't think we got KJ in too much trouble with the linebacker union out there, but, you know.
Close.
He's talking, like, and it's the same thing that was true with Bobby, and I had that conversation, right? Like,
yes.
Hey, I get it. You want to get paid, but you can't get paid at the top dollar and still blame the defensive line.
Right.
Like either your position can do it, not without them. I understand that nobody does it by themselves in the NFL or in the game of football. Mm-hmm. But if you're that dependent on the guys in front of you to in order to make plays, then you can't get paid like that.
Wide receivers are dependent on quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are dependent on O-lines. Running backs are dependent on offensive lines, but not the way linebackers are dependent. And I think even the great Dave Wyman would agree with that. The way that linebackers are dependent on the guys in front of them.
Well, because those other guys, you can see what they're capable of even if somebody else screws up.
And you can jiggy rig stuff. You can find combinations of routes to get guys open, or you can run different run schemes, and you can do many multitude of things with personnel offensively. D line or linebackers, if you don't have those dudes to stop people up front, you're in the wash.
You're toast.
You are in the garbage disposal, and it sucks.
Yeah. Anyway, great stuff. KJ is just phenomenal. A really, really enjoyable hour. And it's finally gotten my head clear from last night, which I needed. I was so mad this morning still, man. I got to tell you, I woke up. If you go back, Brock, and listen to the 6 a.m. segment, I was furious this morning. I really was. Like, what a terrible baseball game that was last night.
You had an off day. You had good vibes back, DHing. This is a bullpen day. Honest to goodness, as far as pure stuff goes, they're high school kids that got better stuff than the dude that came in with an 18 ERA.
All right, well, that's not nice. That's not true.
But that's 100% fact. I've watched it myself.
They don't necessarily have better stuff. Maybe they can throw it harder.
No.
Salk's that guy got out major league hitters for 3 innings yesterday.
Titus's mentor here is at Notre Dame now, and he threw 94 with a hard 90-mile-an-hour slider, and he went to Notre Dame. Could have maybe got drafted. His pure stuff was better than that 89-mile-an-hour fastball sitting at the top of the zone that you do nothing with yesterday.
Now you're getting mad.
Yeah, I wasn't mad.
I was mad last night. I really was. Last night was a frustrating one, and I woke up still sort of after tossing and turning over it because, and look, Jeff Passan said some stuff that really rang true with me. He's right. Doesn't matter how you're playing going in as long as you get in, because baseball is the next day. But at some point, what you've been for a whole year explains who you are.
Yes.
And what's been funny about this Mariners team is I can't pinpoint who they've been all year because they've played terrible baseball at times. They've played near impeccable baseball at times. And then there's been some stuff in between. And some of it's been because of injuries, and some of it's because of hot streaks and cold streaks. The only things that have really been consistent all year long is their arms.
Yeah.
And that's not in question. Their starting pitching is phenomenal. Robbie Ray was not his best last night, but he was really good.
Yep.
He struck out 8 5 2/3. I thought Scott left him in one or two batters too long, but okay. I mean, like, we're splitting hairs. He gave you a chance to win the game last night, right? He kept you in the game and did what you expect from a starting pitcher.
Absolutely.
He got a hit. You have to show some level.
Does it bother you? They're going to end up with a worse record than last year. And that is with adding Luis Castillo. That is with the emergence of the rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Not like American League or National. The rookie of the year.
Yeah, because that's been balanced out by the fact that J.P. Crawford took a huge downturn. Mitch Haniger, unfortunately, gave you nothing this year. Kelnick didn't do what you were hoping he would do. He gave you nothing.
Adam Frazier is just a guy. Dylan Moore is just a guy.
Yeah, but Dylan Moore's not supposed to be there. Adam Frazier was supposed to give you something.
Yep.
He's not been just a guy. He's been near a 280 hitter.
How are they going to end with a worse record?
You can't finish this statement without saying Jesse Winker's name.
It's true.
Right? I mean, that's the biggest bat you went out and got in the offseason, and he's been one of your worst hitters.
They are going to end this season with a worse record than a year ago, and you are going to have George Kirby emerge as a stud. Logan Gilbert has emerged as a stud. The big dumper leads all catchers in home runs, has emerged as a stud. Julio Rodriguez is the rookie of the year. Luis Castillo has been largely nails. Robbie Ray has been terrific. Your bullpen on the back end, Munoz is unhittable. Seawald is good. And you're going to end with a worse record than last year.
I know.
That's all ceiling stuff. That is awesome ceiling stuff. That is off the charts ceiling stuff that if we talked about at the beginning of the year, you'd be like, are you kidding me? That is amazing.
Yeah, because
so is it because the floor?
Yeah.
Is it because the floor of the other guys has bottomed out so badly?
Well, it's just that they've underperformed what they did last year by such an enormous amount, right? And by the way, you're not even mentioning what you got from Eugenio Suarez.
Correct.
Which, thank God, or else you'd really have been in trouble.
31-plus home runs in your team.
Unfortunately, you know, the Winker, Frazier, I hate to put J.P. Crawford and Mitch Haniger in here because I'm not taking shots at those guys. I have all the respect in the world for them.
They just haven't been difference makers. Haven't been difference makers.
And unfortunately for Mitch, he's done largely not. I mean, 7 home runs. I know a lot of it was injury, but upon coming back, he's just not been the same player. And maybe that's coming because they
couple
really
barrels last
be.
Night. By the way,
yeah.
If you watched his second hit, okay, his second hit was
the first two at bats were rough, man. Oh, and then he went the other way, which was great. And so hopefully that last at bat is telling. Maybe that's to come. But between him and JP, they just haven't done what they've needed them to do. And I see this. Hey, Salk, who's got the best on base percentage on the team? It's Winker. Look at his OPS, though, man. Come on. You can tell me he's walking some. Yes, he is, which has given him the on base percentage numbers. But come on. Jesse Winker has been a 900 OPS guy. He's had at least a little bit of power. He's not a huge home run hitter, but he's had some power. Last year, he had a 950 OPS. This year, it's under 700. 683. So come on, don't spare me. And especially when you add in the lousy defense that he's played this year, that doesn't do it for me. Yeah, I'm glad his on-base percentage is 120 points higher than his batting average. That's great. He does take walks. But you got to do something with the ball also, or else it's not like he gets on base and steals second.
And I know. Go ahead. You're an idiot. Go ahead. Go and tell me. Go ahead and tweet me. You're just an idiot. A batting average doesn't matter. It does in context. It does, and it does speak to why you've had 50-plus games of 2 runs or less and shut out again last night.
It matters with men on base.
It does.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes, it does.
There's an element to that. I absolutely believe it. So. Anyway, all right, let's come back.
Well, that wasn't fun. KJ was fun. Let's go back to having fun.
All right, can we have fun at 9:30? Yes. Let's have fun at 9:30. What are we doing? How are we going to have fun at 9:30?
Well, we got Washington Wednesday at 9:30.
Yes.
That puts the capital F in fun right there.
Bow down. It's coming up in 20 minutes after Need to Know next.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, I got to stop talking about the last couple of losses for the Mariners, I think, Brock, and start looking ahead, because as much as today has been frustrating thinking about last night and just how poorly they hit the ball, you know, you got to move on, right? They've got to snap and clear, and I'm trying to do the same thing myself. Scott Servais at least has a game plan for what they need to do moving forward.
I keep saying, you know, we got to get back to playing like we played earlier in the year, and it's all in there. It's in the clubhouse. You know, we need to kind of take a deep breath here. Relax a little bit and try to go out and play a good ball game and have fun again. Because as much as you want to grind through this game and everybody sees how close we are to reaching a goal, you still got to play the game and you got to have fun. And not having a whole lot of fun right now. The last couple of days have been pretty rough. So I don't think there's a whole lot else to say.
Well, you got to say something else, right? Because in addition to having fun, and they will have fun once they start hitting. You hit a couple home runs, everyone will start smiling and having fun again. But somebody's going to have to step up and pull them out of this funk.
Well, I'll tell you this as well. In cut number two, Mr. Robbie Ray, here's what you can't do either. And they're human beings. It's human nature. Their wives, their girlfriends, their parents, their grandparents. People are talking about it. Their agent. Man, can you believe it? Oh, we're going to get there. Oh, are you seeing what the Orioles are doing? Robbie Ray has a solution for the guys in that clubhouse,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think for me, we just got to stop looking at the scoreboard. I mean, I, if it was my choice, we'd turn the thing off because we need to play our brand of baseball. We need to go out every day and try to win that day. We need to stop worrying about what other people in the league are doing, what Baltimore's doing, what Tampa's doing, what Toronto's doing. We need to play Mariners baseball. And I think for me, that should be our main focus every day. It doesn't matter if Baltimore loses. It doesn't matter if Tampa loses or wins. What are the Mariners doing today? We're going to win every pitch.
Well, why don't we just do that? Turn off that out-of-town scoreboard. Turn it off.
Well, you can ask, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Turn it off.
And thankfully, the out-of-town scoreboard is the most positive thing going on right now. Baltimore loses again last night, and so the magic number, there it is. Mariners backing in. Magic number down to five. Orioles lose. You lose, but you still drop that number by one. Just got to do a little reversing, look over the shoulder.
Hate magic.
Just
hate it.
Just backing right in.
Hate magic.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, some good news. Eugenio Suarez back in the lineup yesterday, and they've really missed him. I don't know what he's going to be able to do wearing a, you know, thing on his finger while he's hitting, etc., but he was able to hit in batting practice, and he worked a great walk last night, and hopefully some of the loud contact will come. He's DHing for now, but there is a possibility he should be able to even play the field at some point here. He's taking some ground balls and starting to throw as well. Scott Servais loves this guy.
Gino has been just phenomenal all year long. You know, the good vibes only, it's real. It really is good vibes only every day with Gino. He's about as consistent a personality that I've ever been around in this game, whether it's a coach, a player, a trainer, a front office executive. Gino is about as consistent coming to the ballpark every day than anybody I've been around, and where his mindset is at.
I've been around a lot of managers and coaches in baseball, Brock. When they say something like that, consistency, mm-hmm. That's about as high a compliment as you can give.
And that can be difficult to do, to have good vibes through 162 games. Difficult for a radio show to have good vibes for 3 hours reacting to some of these games. But I will buy what Dan Wilson had to say. I'm sure Blauer's Mike will say the same thing on the telecast today as well. And they, you know, Dan's point was many times hitters even take the index finger off the bat. That's not one that creates all the grip and all the torque and everything else. So let's hope that's right. Let's hope maybe he hits number 32 to keep those good vibes going and turn him from the clubhouse to what's going on the field.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
And cracking another preseason win last night. They're 2-0. Haven't allowed a goal yet as they win 3-0 again. Jaden Schwartz, Daniel Sprong, Andrew Podolarski, your three goal scorers. Number four pick Shane Wright was out there, made his preseason debut. That was good news there as well.
Yeah, I said it earlier. I think the NHL, as far as the major pro leagues, gets it right. The NFL preseason drags on. You got guys that don't even want to play. Spring training is awesome. It is. Hope springs eternal. But, man, it's pretty long. And I think a lot of those players, and we saw it in the COVID year when it was cut down, I think there's an ability to trim some fat. They won't, because the Grapefruit League and Cactus League benefits a lot of those communities down there. So I get that. But what does the NHL play, Mike? Like 9 games in 13 days?
I think it's only 6.
Just sharpen it up. Let's go. Sharpen the skates up and get to playing here sooner rather than later.
All right, that is everything you need to know. But I actually want to tell you one other thing, Brock. Do you know what was going on here right after KJ finished up with us at 8:55?
No.
We took a little commercial break.
We
took a little break for a commercial. Uh-huh. We do have somebody very upset that we don't go an hour commercial-free with KJ. Mm. And I apologize. It's just that, you know, we run a business. And
If that person runs a business and wants to pay appropriately for the entire hour, maybe we can talk to
you. Sure, we can put a price on what an hour is worth. And if you want to pay that whole cost, we'll go commercial-free for that hour. KJ...
I saw this.
Former linebacker in the NFL going over to Maura Dooley to ask for fantasy advice.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
Yep.
Oh, you're blushing.
Not going to lie. That was pretty cool.
Oh, look at that. Maura's blushing.
But yeah, I could see where, like, he knows more about football than I will ever know. But fantasy football is such a ridiculous sport that it's completely different. I could see where a play like Bump tells me all the time that he struggles because he gets these wide receivers that he's
like, but that guy's good.
Yeah, but it doesn't translate. Yeah. we were talking about how he was like, the whole PPR thing got me. I was explaining that to you the other day. You get a point every time a player catches a ball. He's like, so I got a lot of running backs, but then the receivers get more points. It's different.
Do you help him out?
I think so. There was a guy that I put in my fantasy video this week, Romeo Doubs for Green Bay. He's a rookie that kind of came on strong last week, and Rodgers was like raving about his hands after the game. He had more shares of the snap count than anyone else, so I'm recommending him to people this week that need a sneaky wide receiver.
Romeo Doubs.
So he's going to drop Hunter Renfro. Pick up Romeo Doubs, and hopefully I won't look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Football Hunter Renfro, though, right? Not the baseball Hunter Renfro.
Maura,
that's the challenge. Right. Because now what happens?
If Hunter Renfro goes off for 130 yards,
65,
and Romeo Doubs
touchdowns,
never does anything again, then KJ Wright's going to be mad at me.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you going to handle that?
That'll be sad.
That will be sad, yes. All right, it is Washington Wednesday. Brock's got some thoughts on how the Huskies are 3-0 and where they go next. I want to play you a piece of sound that I found very interesting, Brock, right after that. And then, of course, a magical ranking experience today worthy of, this show. It is Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
All right, ranking coming up here in 15 minutes. There's a lot of sound for today's ranking, Brock. I don't want to alarm you ahead of time.
More than yesterday?
Yeah, there might actually be more than yesterday. Yeah, it's a tough one, too. I'm trying to narrow it down to a top five. It's not easy to do. But that's coming up in 15 minutes. Right now, it's time for Washington Wednesday.
Washington Wednesdays, brought to you by Star Rentals, preferred supplier to the West's best contractors.
How's number 15 sound, Salky?
Pretty good.
15 in the country?
It sounds like, you know, there's only 14 teams better.
After a 4-8 debacle of a season in 2021, wholesale changes to your staff, paying out Jimmy Lake and firing the rest of the staff to bring in Kalen DeBoer and his experienced crew that has a clear conviction of what they're doing. Obviously, Michael Penix has been the headliner. I told you in Blue 42 that defensive line is also an enormous reason that they find themselves undefeated right now. But this is the one. As far as the next few weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks go, this is the one. Friday night in the Rose Bowl. Probably be 30,000 people there, maybe. Even though the Bruins are 4-0, they're one of the few ranked 4-0 or unranked 4-0 teams in college football, Mike. And it's pretty telling that the Huskies go into this thing as 3-point favorites. I was looking at some numbers here. These two teams have dominated. Now, the reason the Huskies are ranked and UCLA is not is UCLA played like Alabama State, Alabama Eastern, Southwest, Houston A&M University. They played nobody in the preseason and just hammered the worst Power 5 team in college football in Colorado. So that's why they're not ranked at 4-0. Their strength of schedule, Cupcakeville. The Huskies obviously beat Michigan State, but they too, I think people will nitpick and say, hey, How good is Kent State, really? They've won one game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how good is Michigan State? Minnesota just blew them out. They're 2-2.
Yeah, are those getting devalued a little bit?
Getting devalued a little bit, but the way they're playing is not. The Huskies are scoring 44 points a game. UCLA, 42. The Huskies are allowing 19 points a game. UCLA, 18. Total yards, the Huskies are putting up 531. Chip Kelly's Bruins and DTR, 508. Yards allowed, the Huskies at 302, UCLA at 295. Rushing yards allowed, the Huskies 89, UCLA 84. Look at those numbers. I mean, they are near statistically identical in some of those major categories. Again, Washington did them against a little better opponents, but it's not as if they have also played, you know, elite QBs and world-beating blue blood universities as well. Michigan State was a quality win, and that's the reason that they're 15 and UCLA is not. And UCLA beating Michigan State on national television, right? They would probably be 15. And if UW played, honestly, South Alabama, Alabama State, Bowling Green, and Colorado, they probably wouldn't be ranked. So that is the difference between these two teams mm-hmm. heading into Friday night. You get this one Friday night, you go to ASU, they're in total chaos. They fired Herm. Nobody is attending those games. You get Arizona at home, a better Arizona team that will be 3-2 after beating Colorado, and Jaden Delora, the old Coug who planted the flag. I think they will all remember that when he comes to town in a few weeks. But, yeah, you get this one Friday night to 5, ASU to 6, Arizona to 7. Now you start some, as I said earlier in the week, some significant national narrative.
So it's imagine you plant the flag for your school and then leave. It's such an odd thing about modern college football. Oh. Poor Herm. What are the stories there about people like trying to get him fired behind the scenes and stuff? That sounded super ugly.
Yeah, I don't know if it's poor Herm. There are some pretty black and white rules that when you're the head man, you can't look past. When COVID is going on and it is shut down across the country, I on this one, I love Herm. You love Herm.
I love Herm.
But you know what? There were some black and white lines that you crossed that you can't. And you hired some guys on your staff that were some bad, bad seeds who were talking back, stabbing behind the back, running people over, running people out. It was not the kind of leadership. And college football head coaches requires some of the most demanding leadership there is, you know, of leading your young men, of leading your program, of reacting to boot. We've talked about this. And, oh, by the way, now in the NIL world and everything else, it is a complicated job, to say the least. But I think in this case, I'm not going to make a lot of excuses nor explanations for Herm. He didn't get it done. And it will be compelling. The guy that hired him was his agent, Ray Anderson, who's the AD. And the fact that he's still somehow hanging on and at these games with the president of the university sitting in the stands for the national cameras to shoot, it's a mess in Tempe.
All right, so before we get to ranked here, Brock, I have two pieces of sound. One positive, one negative.
Okay.
Which would you prefer?
Let's get the negative out of the way, like the Mariners.
Oh, 3-8. We may not have time for both. So would you prefer the positive or the negative?
Positive.
Okay.
Positive.
I got a good positive piece of sound for you. This is Scott Servais, and he's talking here about Jared Kelnick, and this is Shannon Dreher doing some great stuff. She wrote about this yesterday at seattlesports.com, and she was the one who was talking to Scott about this and got some really good stuff out of him and from Jared Kelnick, who she's talking about here. You know, Scott throws batting practice. You know this, Brock, because he yelled at you while you were trying to bunt off of him taking batting practice.
Stay positive.
And he noticed in Kelnick's batting practice a completely different approach. And when I heard him say this yesterday, I thought this was important and very interesting, very telling.
It's a lot more controlled. I think at times when young players get to the big leagues or, you know, they all of a sudden I want to feel good. I'm going to start juicing balls. I'm going to try to. And they just, when they start hitting pull side home runs in batting practice, it's not always a great thing. I don't think I've seen him hit a pull side home run in batting practice in the 3 days, 4 days that I've thrown to him. He's trying to hit the ball dead center field, and he gets ticked and doesn't go over the fence. But it's Kansas City. It's a different ballpark here. It's big. But that's, you know, the swings in BP. Just as kind of over on, that's just approach thing, because you can control your approach there, obviously, when the ball's coming at 60, 70 miles an hour. So
not 70, 60. Yeah, it does look different. And, you know, you don't always know if you're going to get the results you're looking for right away, but his approach is good. He's in a really good headspace right now. His mind's in the right spot.
That's what I want to hear from Scott about Jarrett Kelenic more than anything else, because we're seeing it out on the field, right? We're seeing the results. He hit probably two of their three hardest balls yesterday, right? I mean, he hit a couple of rockets up the middle. They were both right at people, unfortunately. But he hit two hard balls, one really a ground ball, one more of a line drive that bounced back up the middle. That's what I want to see from him.
Yeah.
And it fits, you know, that's the eye test. Scott's giving you the behind the scenes that the mentality, the approach, all those things are moving in the right direction.
Can I just ask the obvious?
Yeah.
Why is that so hard?
It's a good question.
I mean, I know. Oh, launch angle, and we got to hit over the shift, and we got to do all this crap. I know. It's not Little League baseball, but that. I mean, that sounds elementary. That sounds like we've talked about in the past of batting practice. This was a couple weeks ago. You know why? What? You know, I had a buddy of mine yesterday text me after our show, and you know, with the Mariners, and in his mind, and I'm going to ask Jerry this tomorrow: is it talent or mindset? And in this case, it was coming down to, hey, runner at third, less than one out, widen your stance, choke up, do some of these things to put the ball in play that's been done for 100 years. Is there more movement in velo? Yeah. Are there shifts in data? Yes. Is all of that real? 1,000%. But, you know, I hear that and I'm like, oh, yeah, obviously. It's like me coaching the fundamentals with a young quarterback. Like, here's the things you do. Like, these are the elemental, instrumental fundamentals of playing the position. And to me, as a hitter and as a young hitter that's uber talented, the one leg squats 400 pounds, that can have exit velo through the roof. Here's what you need to do, though. Here's your approach. Up the middle. Up the middle. I don't need to see you pull it. I know you can pull it. I don't need to see you throw it 50 yards, Theo. I know you can do that. I need to see you do this. You need to do these basics first. Matt Hasselbeck. When he came to Seattle, hey, man, I don't need Chapter 12 of the West Coast system. Go back to Chapter 1. Here's why we have a Tom call and a base call, and here's the basics of it. And I mean, I'm not trying to poo-poo the...
Do you want the answer? Or,
yeah.
I mean, because there are answers to this. First of all, let me start by saying I don't disagree with anything you're asking or saying. I think you're asking some really good questions, and it's frustrating. But I think there are some legitimate answers as to why those things are. One, I think one of the jobs of a manager in baseball, more so than in other sports, is to, first of all, let some people fail and bring the best out of them rather than telling them what to do.
Let them figure it out.
It's not a top-down sport. It's a bottom-up sport, right, where the players, as you've said before, have a lot more control. You are managing them. You are not telling them what to do. And so I think there is an element of, hey, let's wait and see how this kid handles himself, and then we'll step in, and then we'll tell him. Secondly, these guys have five of their own coaches, right? So it's not like you just step in and be like, I need you to do this. Oh, okay, Skip, sure. Because if you end up pissing the guy off, now he doesn't even want to be a part of the organization. He tunes you out. He only goes back to the people who helped him get there, and you're dead to him. So you're walking a very fine line, especially with somebody who is, you know, kind of comes from Kelenic's perspective. Right. You're not talking about a kid who just barely made it and he's desperate and needs the help. You're talking about a guy who was a top 10 pick because he's been so successful wherever he goes. And he dominated minor league pitching.
Yep.
So when he comes up, he's like, hey, this is what I've always done. Yep. And he wants to show off, and he wants to show everybody he belongs. And he knows that hitting bombs is how he stays in the show. Right. So what does he do? He gets into batting practice. He does what he's always done.
Yep.
So the fact that they've actually gotten to him this quickly, I know it sounds like it's been forever. It's actually not, because he's only 23, and that's the last part of the equation. You're not talking to a 35-year-old guy and being like, hey, this is how you really stick, right? You're talking to a 23-year-old, for the most part, 22-year-old, cocksure kid who thinks that he knows everything.
Yep.
And I don't say that to insult Jarrett Kelenic. I say that to insult all 22-year-old kids, because I was one of them, right? I mean, so your questions are not unfounded. But I think that's why it is the way it is.
I guess I'm landing more, and I'm not diminishing the article, the point, any of that. That sound, that's
you just
all
mean
great.
In general in baseball?
I just mean in general in baseball. Like, yeah, hit the ball up the middle first. Like, that's
the problem is you hit the ball up the middle now in baseball. There's somebody waiting there for it.
Yep.
I'm not exaggerating. Yeah, I mean, like, cool, that's a hit right up the middle. Nope, second baseman's standing there. Whoops.
Yeah, it's true.
And so that will change next year, and I think some of that will start to come back to the game.
Yep.
But the home run is just so valuable.
Oh, I know. It's sexy, and it keeps you in the league, and it's right? What's on SportsCenter, and it's the exit velo. And I just pulled this thing, and I hit it 111, and that's what everybody celebrates, and that's what's all over. Yeah. I understand where it comes from. I guess I just first blush. I'm like, yeah, man, that's the fundamentals.
Did you see what they did to, was it Santana yesterday? With one strike, they took the third baseman and ran him out to left field.
Crazy.
It's the strangest damn thing I've ever seen. He's up to bat. They got four infielders, three outfielders like normal. He takes strike one, and the third baseman runs out to left field.
Yep.
Where's that guy going? He looked like he was escaping.
I think I did see Santana shorten up and actually hit the ball the other way when they were shifted too, which was refreshing. It was kind of nice. But five singles ain't going to get it done in today's baseball, boys and girls. That ain't going to get it done, and it's not going to get it done tonight. We're going to have good vibes. This thing's going to turn. I tweeted it. I wanted to be held accountable. Which, you know, and I haven't been Debbie Downer and Nancy Negative. Too bad.
Well.
Too bad.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm quite like 100% willing to agree with that. But you know what? It's fine. Yeah. Let's do some ranking.
No, thank you.
Let's prove that you're not a Debbie Downer. Let's do some ranking.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
More is like,
you've had such a good day. You were great. You got to give KJ fantasy advice.
I heard how much music is in this.
Yeah.
But now more is nervous.
Now you're just delaying. You're just costing Bump and Stacy time right now.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
Well, while the Mariners don't win, the magic number did drop once again yesterday, Brock, to 5. And was it yesterday we ranked numbers?
No, it was
last week. Last week we ranked numbers.
Yeah, because it was when it was at Magic. It was at 9.
Right. We ranked
last
numbers.
Last Friday when I was out.
But we hadn't ranked Magic yet. And so with that in mind, Brock, Magic ranked. And there's certainly a lot of it. I mean, you could start with Electric Light Orchestra. It's a little strange magic.
Yellow. Yeah. It's a weird band.
Well, they sort of evolved from the Beatles, right? Because Jeff Lynne's obsessed with the Beatles.
It's called Drugs.
And I'm sure he knew this.
That's...
Take you today. No. The Magical Mystery Tour.
Who was that?
Same weird era.
That's the Beatles, Brock?
By the way,
I saw
the Beatles, Justin, in... Not the Beatles.
Hey, I got a lot to get through here.
I know, but in Vegas, the people that do the trapeze, the ropes, that climb
crazy. Cirque du Soleil?
Yes. I saw the Cirque du Soleil Beatles.
Yeah.
Psychotic. It was like psychedelic.
Or psychedelic? Because it's a pretty big difference.
It was both. Oh, yeah, okay, both of those things.
All right. Is the love show?
You know what I saw in Vegas? I saw Santana. And he sang Black Magic Woman.
Yeah. The 206 says, ranked is an inside joke that only Salk and Justin think is funny.
Disagree.
Sorry, let me just wave my magic wand over this segment. We should be fine. Brock, you said drugs, huh? Drugs are sort of a thing for you? Kind of a drug guy?
No, for that band.
Maybe like Puff the Magic Dragon. Not about drugs at all. Just what about dragon happens to be magic and named Puff.
What does that mean?
Huh?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. It's Peter, Paul, and Mary. If you can't like a band called Peter, Paul, and Mary, what can you like?
It's a land called Honolulu. It's pretty clear.
Little Sting, Little Police. A lot of good honorable mentions today, Brock.
Oh, we're not to the ranked yet?
No, we still got some time.
So
206, Mike has turned ranked into a stupid, esoteric list of bad music.
Okay, so perhaps you'd like a few movies like Magic Mike.
Yep.
Maybe you like Practical Magic.
Of course.
Is that Sandra Bullock?
Yes, it is. And Nicole Kidman, filmed in the Northwest.
Yeah, see? What's wrong with that? Have you ever been to the Magic Kingdom? It's Disneyland? Disney World? Right? Maybe you played a little Magic the Gathering as a kid. I don't know. Maybe you're into those sort of card games.
Nope.
I don't know what you're into. Maybe instead of that, Brock, when you were even younger.
The universe has not revealed the answer to me.
Maybe you had a Magic 8 Ball.
Nope.
No? All right. Maybe you like the Cars. great Rick Ocasek.
Some magical baby steps to get Brock closer to liking Ranks. I feel like every once in a while we'll sneak in something where he goes, okay. Yep.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. All right, that one's good.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to go Love and Spoonful. I can't hear this song without thinking of American Pie.
Another one of those songs that's just forever links to
it. We've been in Ranked before, and we've mentioned that before.
Well, how can you not, though? Like when he starts singing afterwards, scoobity boop bop. Ooh, I like that. I'm not a big America fan, but put him in here. You can
have anything
that you desire. Oh, loved America.
All I'm hearing in every one of these songs is drugs.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yep, magic and drugs.
That can't be true.
Yeah, that's all I've heard.
That's magic. All you hear?
Well, you're about to hear some conspiracies and a whole lot of other things.
Right. Wait great. Till we get to the actual top five. We're not even...
We don't have time. You have to get to your top five.
What? Do we do? Hold on. I'm not quite ready yet. I got one or two more that I was hoping to get to here. All right, fine. We'll get to the top five.
Oh, man.
We'll get to it. I don't want to... I'm sorry. I may have missed a few in here, like the Magic School Bus.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Bruno Mars. 24-karat magic in the air. That's not about drugs.
Sure isn't.
Pretty clean cut. Oh, Brock's dancing. See? Mm-hmm. Bruno Mars got him.
How about your favorite basketball player?
We're getting to him. He's number one, but thanks for blowing it.
Good.
Number five, Brock. Sheesh. Making this challenging for me.
My aim.
There's so many pieces of sound on here, I can't even find it.
That's when you know your list has got way too big.
This list actually might be too big.
I don't know.
Here you go, number five. Magic Buzz. The Who. Magic Buzz. The Magic Buzz. Magic
Buzz. Yeah, not drugs at all. Nope, not drugs at all.
No, no way. There might be some drugs.
Late 60s, too.
That's true. All right. Number four, maybe you've seen the Magic Bullet, right? The little blender.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
You know the Magic Bullet theory from JFK. That, my friends, is one Magic Bullet, which, of course, led to the Seinfeld episode.
The spit then splashed off the wrist, pauses in midair, mind you. Makes a left turn and lands on Newman's left thigh. That is one magic loogie.
So good. Keith Hernandez. If you need a sports tie-in, Keith Hernandez was in that.
Uh-huh.
That's a really good one that you pulled out.
Thank you. I'm really proud of that one.
Justin, are you a big Seinfeld guy?
You know what? I wish I was more of a Seinfeld guy. I kind of missed the boat on it, but I'll catch it. When it's on reruns randomly, I watch it.
Mora?
Yeah, I like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Brock, there's only two classic rock songs left on this list, I promise. Number three. This one's definitely about drugs.
Really?
Not that one.
Yeah, oh, really?
That was definitely about drugs. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, interesting.
A magic carpet. Come with me in a magic carpet ride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that one might have been.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think that was fairly safe to say.
We'll grant you that.
Thanks.
That one will give you. Yeah, that one's about drugs. And right. Actually, this one, too. But this is my favorite song by a Seattle band.
Ooh.
Ooh. We're unabashed.
Sure,
Ann Wilson
was on the Hearts ranked list.
It could have been, maybe not.
Yeah, but Ann Wilson sang the national anthem at the opening of Climate Pledge Arena, and it was freaking awesome.
Bad memories with that song, my friends.
Really?
I think it was Larry Izzo, Damon Heward, Yours Truly.
Ooh.
At a Super Bowl event doing karaoke, and Damon picked that song.
That is too hard. Don't sing Ann Wilson.
That's bad.
That's a bad idea.
That was a recipe for disaster.
That's bad idea, jeans.
Was bad.
Yeah, I don't like that. Terrible decision. Come on, Damon. Damon did that?
I may have been wrong. I don't know, but it sounded something like that.
Let's see if we can get Damon on the phone and find out what song it actually was.
Gosh.
Yeah. I love Magic Man. It's a great, great song. The number one Magic of all time.
Gathered in for the Lakers. Out to Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson for the lane. With the hoop for the stuff.
That one's pretty obvious.
How could it not be?
How could it not be?
More, will you give me sound for this? How about you did miss one other
really
great Magic Man.
Who just came up with a new nickname.
Oh, that is. It's so good.
I got a new
it's
nickname, so the Magic Man. Now you see me. Now you don't.
Talladega Nights, Magic Man. Never going to get that reference, are you? You hate that movie.
I hated that movie so much.
Magic Man.
Because it's hilarious.
And I kind of hate you right now.
Me?
Yeah.
Why? Because we forgot Don Majkowski.
Thank you.
We're right. We forgot Don Majkowski.
Crying out loud.
Man. Quarterback before Brett Favre.
If you want me to contribute
it's
to
true.
This.
Yes.
I had one guy.
Yeah.
Brock, just give up. Don't contribute.
We'll jiggy rig it next time for you.
Hey, Maura, I don't know why, but I am so worried about KJ benching Hunter Renfro.
To be fair, he was already on his bench. He wasn't one of his.
Okay. All right.
What if he goes off this week?
I tried to give him a guy that I think he can get before Maura, other people know he's good, so it's a risk. It's a
Maura,
risk.
Everyone listening now is going to be looking at Hunter Renfro's stat line Sunday against the Broncos.
Is the magic eraser.
That's what the Mariners need to do with their brains to get back
to it. Yes.
Okay, I'll take whatever magic they can give us tonight. Anything.
Who's
please.
Pitching tonight?
Who cares? Just win the game.
Okay, just hit. Just hit.
Who is pitching tonight? Marco?
Tonight would be Ray, I believe.
Ray was last night.
No, so tonight Marco. Would be Marco.
Marco. Yeah,
no, Kirby. On. Tonight's Kirby. Kirby.
What?
It's a Kirby night.
All right, we'll go win.
Come on, George.
For God's sakes.
Please.
For God's sakes, win the game.
Just hit.
Bump and Stacy up next. We'll be back tomorrow morning. We'll have Jerry DePoto, hopefully coming off of a win.
Just hit. Just hit the ball.
Until then, the hay.
Barn.
See you, everybody.